Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. Through good and tough times, you need a bank that will stand by you. Texas Citizens Bank gives Houston small and medium-sized businesses the resources they need to thrive. As one customer says, a huge thank you to our friends at Texas Citizens Bank. Great customer service and down-to-earth good people. Call 713-948-5700 to learn more. In honor of Innovation Map's second birthday and the Houston Innovation Summit, which is going on through Friday, we've decided to turn the tables for this episode. Rather than me interviewing a guest, I'll be taking the questions. Earlier this week, I sat down with Grace Rodriguez, CEO and Executive Director of Impact Hub Houston, for a virtual Ask Me Anything chat. Grace and the event attendees asked me questions about the Houston innovation ecosystem, trends I've seen develop, and how Innovation Map has evolved over the past 2 years, as well as where it's headed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Houston Innovation Summit's first AMA. We're pre-gaming right now with Innovation Map editor Natalie Harms. And Natalie, welcome. Can you tell us more about yourself? And I understand this is a momentous day-ish for Innovation Map too.
Yeah, I'm Natalie. Hi, everyone. And I love a good pregame. So this is so fun. Obviously a different type of pregame, but we're pre-gaming this week. So yeah, and it's also very timely because I'm pretty sure we launched on the 15th of November, 2 years ago, Innovation Map. So it's kind of like our birthday. It's our second birthday. So yeah, so that's a good occasion to do my first AMA.
And what brought you to Innovation Map?
So I should just kind of do the quick and easy version of the Innovation Map origin story. So Innovation Map launched under a parent company called Gao Media, and Gao Media has long been known for its radio business, sports radio specifically, and a few years ago acquired Culture Map, which is a Texas-wide media outlet focused on culture and lifestyle in Texas. Very cool company that when David Gao, CEO of Gao Media, and actually father to Lawson Gao, founder of The Canon, so if that name sounds familiar, that's why, that he decided that, you know, we have this new capacity for digital media. Let's launch something that Houston really needs and definitely needs now, but definitely needed 2 years ago as well, innovation specific, startup specific media platform. So that's how Innovation Map got started. I was at the Houston Business Journal for about 4 years prior to coming over and being the founding editor. So it's really great to get to start something that Houston really, really needed. And also, you know, it was the time for it.
Well, I'm so glad you jumped over to the innovation side, because for the longest time, everybody in the Houston startup scene was saying we need more coverage, we need more people to share more of our success stories, you know, and kind of and let people around the rest of the country know that Houston does have a tech and startup scene. And it's so funny because I remember around the same time you launched Innovation Map, I was leaving Station Houston to go to Impact Hub Houston. And so it feels like so much has happened in the past 2 years. I mean, like, what was the Houston scene like when you started? What was your perspective on it?
Yeah, it was, it was overwhelming, because even though I came from this like background, Houston business background, it was a whole different world. And I felt like I didn't know how to find out what was happening in the ecosystem. I very quickly realized it was really the people-to-people kind of connections. Like, there wasn't a common ground that everyone, you know, hung out at. It's like everyone knew someone who like told me to meet someone. And so it was so great. So my first impression was that it was like such a welcoming community. I was so excited. Like, every story I was doing made me so excited for Houston and also for what's happening here. I remember my first like kind of event to go attend and kind of cover was, and it was right before Innovation Map even launched. I was just going to like have a story for like the first week of launch. And it was the HX Venture Fund launching, and there's like a press conference and we all were there. And that was like one of my first things. I don't even remember who I met there, but I just remember that was like what we were at. And now, you know, HX Venture Fund is doing so well. I've already got seen, you know, kind of like a return on their process. It's just interesting to see how much has changed in 2 years, but also still feeling like we're still on the precipice of being this big Houston, this big innovation ecosystem.
What do you think was the most surprising thing that you found when you started really digging into Houston's startup scene?
I think what was surprising is that they're already as new as it felt, like, and maybe it was just new to me, but everyone was talking about how we're emerging. There still had been a long history that I felt like I was playing catch up to. So I it was surprising how much there was to learn, I think, and how Houston's innovation and technology history has kind of just been in the background happening. And now everyone was like excited to talk about it and excited to have a new platform that would talk about it. So,
yeah. Did you uncover any really interesting stories about that history that you could share?
I think that the history of Ajax and like how that, like, I was like, oh, it's this new organization. It's really cool that it exists, but like where that originated from and like even down to the building, you know, the Houston Technology Center, of them based out of that. I mean, that's like something I felt like everyone knew, but I was like, oh, I didn't know what this was. And the first time I had to Google the word unicorn and like what that meant, there's a lot of like, I kept joking that I would make like this joke, video content or something, like a dictionary for people who like what SaaS meant. I had to Google that. Like it's a really fun, interesting process, because the other thing about Innovation Map is, and still to this day, I'm the only full-time employee on this. So we have obviously a big parent company, but they focus on culture and sports. So I'm the only person. So I had nobody to be like, hey, what is, AI? What does that mean? SaaS? What is SaaS? So that was really fun to have to figure that out on my own.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, the emergence of Innovation Map from Culture Map and this like sports business. How has Innovation Map grown since then? You know, since when you started, and are you still the only full-time employee? And what are your plans for expanding, I guess, alongside Houston expanding?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting to just kind of grow with Houston. And I am still the only full-time employee, but I've honestly got the best freelancers that write. And, you know, we have content shares, and it's amazing to have Culture Map, because a lot of what they do, like they'll cover health tech kind of stories or health in general, or these kind of bigger picture stories. And we have been able to share content across the board. And I think they appreciate Innovation Map, because sometimes I do really cool stories that they can pull over too. So it's been exciting to kind of grow in that way. And I think we've got tons of opportunities for growth in the moving on as well. And yeah, like I think I think it's less of a growth of the stories, because I feel like I'm still producing the same amount of like weekly content, but the evolution of the reporting has definitely been cool to see. I feel like if I go back and look at stories from like the first month, I would be embarrassed.
I'm sure they're great.
Like I cover and the kind of different stories, but one thing that's kind of remained a constant is having startup profiles and having people like entrepreneurs kind of at the forefront. Like my Monday roundup that I do every single week of Houston Innovators to Know, basically highlighting the people that happened, the people that are part of the news. That's been something I've had since day one. And it's kind of cool to see how even 2 years later, people still really care to see the movers and shakers in the innovation ecosystem.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about the growth opportunities for Innovation Map. So what are some of those paths to innovating Innovation Map do you see?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have David Gao on this call. I see him. So I almost feel like that's like a better question for him. But, you know, I think for one, I've always been very strategic about the categories of what Innovation Map kind of covers. But for me, it'd be really cool to see that grow and just have content growth as well, because like I said, I'm still publishing a similar amount, pretty much at my cap for how much content I can put out by myself. But I think also that's why I said it's really important to kind of like evolve the coverage to make sure it's growing and it's like standard. For instance, space is something that's always been, space tech has always been something that's been such a part of Houston, and it's not one of the original categories we launched with. And so I was just something where we're like, energy, health, like those make sense. And then technology and startups, which can kind of be catch-all, impact was always a big part of covering the Houston innovation ecosystem. But space was something that it was just like, we'll see where it fits in. It'll be under tech, maybe it'll be under impact. But space was something we added. So maybe there's another category that needs to be added down the road.
I feel like games is going to be in there, or athletic performance. That, I mean, especially you already have that relationship with the sports world. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more intersection with that too.
Yeah, it's almost like if that happens, it would be very easy to go back and fill those categories with content I've already covered. So that could definitely happen.
Well, I also know you launch a podcast too, right? So there's like more different ways of distributing these stories that you're developing.
Yeah, I think that's, and it goes back to that, how important like highlighting the entrepreneurs and the people behind the news, how important that is as a media organization. And so the podcast launched about a year ago. And that was another thing that just made a lot of sense, because we have a sports radio side of the business. You know, we've got studios around, we've got talented producers. So I don't know that would exist without that part of the business, because, you know, I literally just walked up and was like, can I start a podcast? And they were like, yeah, sure. Here you go. Michael will be your producer. And then the rest is history. But really that also came about because I was always doing these Q&As for a section called The Featured Innovator. That would be something that would be a weekly thing. And so just taking that from a written Q&A that took so long to transcribe every week and turning that into content that's listening was really cool. And it's cool to see. It's a different kind of space. Like, I don't think people tend to gravitate toward local news, niche and local news on podcasts. But for me, it's fun.
I love this. I'm looking at the chat right now, and David is like your biggest advocate. He's saying, Natalie is an award winner. She received recognition as top advocate for small businesses in Houston. So congrats, Natalie. That's awesome. And also he talks about agreeing with the breadth of Houston. There could be so many more categories. In fact, international could be another, because Houston has a huge port and so many businesses are innovating to grow international trade. It's funny, one of the things we talk about for Impact Hub Houston is how we are an intentional, inclusive, and international community with over 100 Impact Hubs around the world. And we have another panel this afternoon on building an inclusive and international ecosystem. So as you're trying to cover all of these different things, because there's so many different categories, what are some of your biggest challenges? Like for you, Natalie, as the editor, what are some of your biggest challenges?
Yeah, I think the constant one is just not having enough time some days and like mental capacity to write, because I tend to shock people when I say that I write about 8 to 10 stories a week, just me personally. So it would be great to have a clone. That'd be really nice. And then the other thing is, I think it's still finding the right stories, because we talk about Houston kind of flying under the radar, like the history of Houston technology in Houston. It would be nice to have like a cheat sheet almost, which I kind of think that HGX checklist will be a really great resource once that's built out, that Houston Exponential is doing. So having all of these resources is incredibly important to me. It helps me a lot to have ways to source stories. So a lot of times I get a lot of my stories from people emailing me and like sending me a LinkedIn message. And so, you know, there's never enough of that. Like I love that happening, but yeah. So I wish I could do more, and I wish I could learn more.
Well, thank you. And following up from that, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Tani says, happy second anniversary. In addition to your biggest challenge, what has been your proudest moment from these past 2 years?
Yeah, I think what David mentioned, me winning awards and everything, that's, you would think that would be like my default going to. Most of the time in those situations, I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. I'm not used to being like on the subject, like even this, where I'm like, I'm more used to being the interviewer than the interviewee. So for me, it's like, it's exciting, but it's more abstractly exciting. But what's really like makes me smile is when people tell me that they, the first thing that they do every day is read the Innovation Map newsletter. Like that makes my day. And that happens a lot. Like, and that's really cool to know that, you know, somebody can really find value in what you do, on like a personal level. So it means more to me when someone tells me that than, getting an award. That's just like, I don't know. I appreciate both so much, but
yeah, like, it definitely feels personal. Like it's more personal, the kind of relationship you have, because you're going directly into somebody's inbox basically, and you're helping them start their day.
Yeah. Especially since putting out news online, I feel like, especially in this weird time where I'm like sitting in my bedroom right now, like my cat being my coworker, I sometimes feel like I'm just publishing news into the void and I don't necessarily know who's reading that. I see the numbers like of views coming in, but that's so much more personal is when someone's like, I read this story and I'm like, oh yeah, so people are out there reading this. That's good to know.
Well, it's cool. It's also one of the reasons why I like this AMA format, because you actually get to engage with real live people. Versus you know, likes and reshares and all of that. I mean, those are also very welcome, but it's nice to have people actually talking with you. Speaking of which, so Kenley Clark asks about, are these segments large enough to spin off into separate products, such as innovation space, innovation energy, and so on, or like space map, energy yeah. map?
That would be really cool. I already feel like we're very niche with Innovation Map. Like back when I was trying to like get people to understand, which I don't know why I thought I had to explain it this way, but I would talk about how, you know, the Houston Chronicle has a business section and then HBJ is that business section and they have little sections underneath and they have a like innovation section within the newspaper. Well, Innovation Map is all of that. So it's even wilder to me to like think about being even more specific to an industry like that. But I could see it being very valuable to have like maybe specific newsletters or something like that that round up specific stories, like having a monthly, like here's everything in space you need to know, and almost like making that more editorial and having like commentary and like trends and stuff like that. That would be really cool. And especially energy, because I feel like we have so many huge energy companies in Houston. And then we have a lot of really interesting energy startups that are working with those companies, but so much of that happens behind closed doors and I never get to be a part of. So I wish that would almost be cool to kind of tap in and unlock some of those cool stories that people don't necessarily think to tell me about.
Yeah. I wonder if that, you know, that's something that can be surfaced through the podcast, because when you're in conversation, that's sometimes when people realize, oh yeah, I guess I could tell the story. Otherwise, they feel like it's not newsworthy.
That's one thing I try to like make very clear when I talk to, you know, I'll give like little presentations with Mass Challenge and stuff like that. And so my thing is like, you might not know that it's news. So just like having that conversation, that check-in email, I'll tell you like yes or no. So just send me an email. I there's tons of different ways I can cover things. So I try to make very clear, like just tell me everything or just remember that any little thing you do, you have bring on a major new client, you expand to a second office, you expand to a bigger office, you hire three new people. Like those are stories.
Well, speaking of subjects and sources, Amanda asks, what's your favorite part of talking to entrepreneurs?
They're extremely inspiring. I think that's been the best part of early days. I realized that you're working with people, you're writing about people who really appreciate your doing that. It's really a privilege in journalism. You do not get that usually. So most of the time you're writing stories that people would much rather you not write. And of course, entrepreneurs, you know, they're looking to grow their companies. They're looking for potential investors. They are our clients. And so, you know, having that ability to have press validation is super important to them. So I like that relationship is always pretty positive. And on top of that, I find them so inspiring. As much as people are like, I cannot believe you write 8 to 10 stories a week. I'm like, I cannot believe you launched a company. I cannot believe you wrote $1.5 million. Like, and is in their companies like 3 months old. I'm just like, I cannot. So it's a mutual admiration society conversation usually.
That's wonderful. So Greg is following up on the conversation we were having with, from what David was saying also earlier. How do you see the Houston innovation community connecting to the broader national and international communities?
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations, like individual organizations with Houston, within Houston are doing that, and they're doing that well. Like the at TMCX, or TMC Innovation Institute, they have a lot of programs with different ecosystems internationally. I think that could be something replicated. I think things like Greentown Labs coming from Massachusetts to Texas is really important. I think another thing that has been really eye-opening, I think I'm a lifelong Houstonian, so I love supporting Houston. I love seeing Houston at, on a national level and growing its innovation ecosystem. And I think I tend to be like, it's Houston versus the world. But one thing I've started to be aware of is that there's also this Texas culture and having Texas like kind of grouping together Austin, Dallas, San Antonio with Houston, we're so much more powerful too. So I think I used to be like, oh, I'm not, we're not Austin, we're separate, like don't lump us in. It's much more powerful, and that's something that like Capital Factory is trying to do so well, the Texas Manifesto. And I think that's going to be ultimately really powerful. And, you know, I'm not so nervous about being kind of compared to Austin and Dallas, because Houston is such an international city. We're going to be a really great entry point for so many companies who want to expand to the US. I think Houston, as long as we're keeping growing and we have the right support in place, we're going to attract those cities to having, you know, their local headquarters here.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think we're one of the top at least five, if not three, cities in the country with the most consular general offices. And so I feel like there is just so much opportunity for us to do business with, well, startups here to do business with other parts of the world, and you know, startups or companies in other parts of the world to do business with Houston. We actually have the North American Energy Transition Conference that's happening later on in the week. So if you go to thehoustoninnovationsummit.com, it'll take you to the site where there's a calendar if you want to find those things too. But I feel like it's kind of one of the strengths of Innovation Map is that it's primarily digital. And so everybody from around the world can actually read your stories and hear the stories of entrepreneurs from here, and then really learn about what's going on in Houston, because it seems like national media doesn't really cover what happens in Houston as well, unless there's a hurricane happening here. But so along those lines, what do you think are some of Houston innovation ecosystem's biggest challenges?
I think, and I ask this a lot on the podcast, I think it's pretty much a standard question that I ask, and the answers are pretty similar. I mean, I usually see people take, you know, one of three answers, and the first one is exactly that. It's like connectivity between, like within the city and between all the different, you know, startup development organizations, between the different industries. I think urban sprawl has caused us to be separated like that, and there are all these different kind of digital solutions that are emerging now that, you know, are looking to solve that. And so that's definitely one of them. And a lot of people credit Innovation Map in that way. It's like, oh, we're connecting the dots in that way. And I think that's very true and important. The other thing is funding. And that's probably the most common response is there's not enough, I guess, interest in Houston startups from, you know, either local investors or out of state investors. I think that's changing too, but I think when you look at how many startups we have, it's probably not proportional to money coming in. It's something I will commiserate with the HX team about pretty regularly, and we'll like talk about what they're seeing, what I'm seeing. But so many different entrepreneurs have told me that too. And the other thing is, you know, if you do find money outside of Houston, are those companies now asking you to move there? That's changing too. I don't think that's happening as much, but you definitely see that being in the past a trend of if you get your money from somewhere, they're going to ask you to put your company there too. And then the last thing I'll hear is talent, which is hard to, it's a different type. It's like, there's not like a lack of talent. There's just a different priorities with the talent within Houston. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs will talk about having to hire from other cities for different specific talents, but I think it's just the culture. It's like people who go study engineering, then they come out of school, they probably are going to be more attracted to the six-figure salaries from a major oil company, despite the, you know, downfalls of working in oil and gas. Like, there are plenty, but there's just this culture of like people wanting to go into those, people like having that career path. And what's changing now is people are starting to see the perks of working at a smaller company, at a startup. So I think Houston talent had just been kind of late to that game versus like on the coast. That was something that graduating like college grads gravitated toward, was those types of opportunities. And it just didn't happen here in Houston, but it's changing. And also the existing talent that's in those oil and gas companies, attracting them away from that existing career and job, it can be hard sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a lot of things changing. What do you see are the biggest shifts in Houston's tech startup innovation ecosystem?
I think awareness is a big one. Because I think, I don't know if this is just like, I'm hanging out and like people hanging out with people who already like know this exists, or like I'm surrounding myself with like kind of an echo chamber, but I do feel like I hear less like Houston has tech companies. Like I feel like that's not as, I don't have that, that response anymore. Again, I'm also not seeing people in a regular setting, but I feel like I less have to explain what I do versus two years ago of saying like, oh, I cover tech and startups in Houston. It's like, people aren't like, we have that. So that's changing. So awareness is changing. I think like culture is changing too. And the opportunity, like startups, I just think that like overall, maybe Houston is catching up with the coast in a lot of different ways. Like there are more startups, there are more VC action, there's, you know, more talent. We've got amazing universities here. It's just like now they're all coming together.
Mm-hmm. Do you see any major trends that are happening in Houston?
I think there's probably a lot. I think one that I've been recently thinking a lot about is ed tech, especially with the pandemic and with so many parents having to be parents, you know, executives at their company and in charge of their children's education during all of this. It's I think made a lot more people aware of how important education is, how technology can help in some situations, and how you really need it at this time. So those types of companies, I know, have been emerging, and there's different Houston startups that have been coming in to solve different problems within that. And then another one that we've touched on too is I always get really excited about sports tech companies, whether that's kind of traditional sports or, you know, gaming. It's really cool to see the movement happening within that, you know, whether that's like Seats, which was founded in Houston, or Win-Win, founded by a Houstonian who brought the company to Houston. It's all really exciting to see those. Like, and it goes back to like the categories that we could expand Innovation Map. There's tons of opportunities. It's kind of like, okay, which one's gonna be first to break in that.
And you were also talking about space earlier, the launch of the NASA, I think, Space Accelerator this week. That sounds like it's going to be amazing. I hope there's going to be a lot more innovation that intersects with space in our startups too.
I think space is super interesting to me because, you know, this is the space city. And on top of that is people might not really be incredibly aware that, you know, what was traditionally this government entity has now really focused on commercialization. And on top of that, like NASA and Johnson Space Center, they really prioritize, you know, they have these amazing inventions and they're prioritizing getting those inventions to the market because it's like, what else are they doing with that? You know, there's only so much you could do. They like test it out, this technology, let's get it to where it's saving lives or changing the world.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about the context in which NASA innovates, they're doing it in places where there's little water, little food, you know, they're food deserts, they're like literally, and they're hostile environments for people to live. So if you can solve those problems in space, you can easily bring those solutions to, you know, terrestrial applications. You know, it can help feed and provide water for people who are in similar situations, but on Earth. So I feel like innovation from NASA can literally save the world, hopefully.
Why not?
Yeah. And you alluded to earlier the importance of ed tech, especially now with the pandemic. How has the pandemic impacted you and Innovation Map?
I think the biggest, realization was, or the biggest impact was immediately following the shutdown in late March, early April, was probably the worst time. Everything got back to pretty new normal shortly after that. But, you know, I think when I think about how I was consuming news, being a news person, I'm like, I can only imagine what people who, you know, their whole life was turned upside down. They're not commuting. They are trying to like tune into this massive worldwide thing. So a lot of people weren't reading local, you know, specific news like Innovation Map. And on top of that, there just wasn't as much news to cover. I think a lot of people were just like frozen. They were like, oh, well, we're going to have this press release about expansion or, you know, whatever. We can't do that because we don't know what's happening. Also, a lot of people may have maybe thought, oh, this is going to be a temporary thing. I don't want to publish our press release during a pandemic. So I'm going to wait until the pandemic goes away and then I'll post this news. So it went from, you know, really not being, there wasn't very much to cover. There wasn't much, many people reading. And then very quickly, I was covering startup pivot after startup pivot after startup pivot, and people came back to, as readers too. So it wasn't like that long, but there was definitely question marks of like, if this isn't like sustainable during a pandemic, and I was very firmly of the belief that this was going to affect us for a while. So I was like, if this is the case for a while, like, you know, is there going to be some great effect on Innovation Map in general? And it didn't happen, which I'm so glad for, but there was definitely some questions where I was like, I don't know what to cover in this time. I also remember specifically, I tried to make at least one story a day have nothing to do with the pandemic. People had like some sort of escape. Like, they didn't have to focus on, you know, COVID-19. They could have a break. And those stories, like, no one read. I was just like, okay, so I get it. We all have the pandemic on the mind. So we'll just talk about that for a little bit. And if I needed to like limit what I was publishing, if I needed to do more content shares with like Culture Map, because they were covering much of the local effect. So it was just a total shift in like how I was covering everything I thought I knew was gonna change. And I think it's evened out a little bit. I still think people are a little sick of talking about, reading about the pandemic. And so bringing that back after we all kind of settled, it was interesting just to see and try different things. And that's really great about being digital, is, you know, pretty low cost to hit publish on an article, you know? So if I needed to change what I was doing, it was really easy to do that.
But I think that's also very telling, right? For two things. The startups in Houston are really resilient, that they're able to adapt, you know, within a couple of months, I guess, to be able to start being covered so much. But then also when you're saying that the stories that didn't cover the pandemic weren't getting as much traction, it means that people are turning to you for information, right? And that shows how valuable Innovation Map is for people to just like see what's going on, who's surviving, how are they surviving? Can I learn something from that and adapt that, you know, to my business?
And some of the really like most successful content that I was putting out were rounding up pivots, rounding up, you know, PPE, like collaborations and resources for startups. Like, I think every single startup development organization put together some sort of research guide. I know Impact Hub too did. And that was probably the most cohesive, because y'all do cover a lot more than just technology and support different companies. So I think it was cool to see all that happening. And I like couldn't keep up. I was like overwhelmed. I was like, all right, I can't keep adding to this long story. I need to, I'll do a round two in a few weeks or something like that. But it was like literally overwhelming how much there was, how much good was happening. And then it became about the virtual events, which I've now done several virtual event roundups. And that's been really cool to see that grow. And now again, I'm overwhelmed. I'm like, I can't do it. There's so many. I want to attend them all. I need a time turner. Like, there's so much.
That's awesome. It's great to see how much Houston contributes, like, and gives back to the community, and how people really just care about each other. How about the investor side of the community? You know, we've talked a lot about the entrepreneurs and startups. How have investors responded to the pandemic, to the change, you know, I guess, uncertainty of the future? Do they actually see that, you know, it's a time to invest more, or are they pulling back a little bit?
I think it came in waves a little bit at first. I, you know, was seeing, if I was talking to investors or talking to startups who were fundraising, there was kind of a pause. You know, investors aren't necessarily, I think the first reaction was, first of all, how are portfolio companies, like, do they need more money? Like, we need to help them. So it wasn't necessarily new investments. It would be investments into existing relationships that they have with the portfolio companies. So that was kind of priority number one. And then priority number two was, you know, how do you navigate a new potential portfolio company? Like, how do you invest in a company you didn't have the luxury of having, you know, flying out to you to meet you and to shake hands with the person you're going to give $1 million to and trust with? You know, it was very hard, I think, for them to wrap their head around that. So they didn't do it. They didn't have new portfolio companies. They didn't make investments into companies they didn't have a prior relationship to. And there are some exceptions. I know I won't remember any details of this, but there were exceptions for sure that people, you know, were able to raise money based off of a super warm connection. You know what I mean? Like they had to really trust the person introducing them because they didn't get to meet them in person. And so many people told me that they were just a Zoom meeting just does not substitute for the relationship that needs to be there for an investor. I know some people have described it as like getting married. When you invest in a company, it's that type of level commitment. Would you marry somebody you just met on Zoom? I don't know, maybe that's probably happened now, but it was very important to have that face-to-face meeting. So it's interesting to see how that's changed. I know it's people have had to change that. But for the most part, I didn't see, no one would outright tell me that they weren't considering investing at all. Like no one outright said, this is not a time to invest. No one said that. So it was just, maybe they were just being more strategic about where they're putting their money. And it's also been really interesting to see the companies that have raised and closed rounds, what they're doing differently, and maybe why this is actually better for business. Like maybe the pandemic has increased their business, one of them being Houston-based Mainline, which is an esports company. You know, I did a podcast interview with Chris Buckner, the CEO and founder, and he said that like it's really kind of hard to say this, but June was their best business, was their best month in their existence. And it's like, don't be ashamed of that. Like I know it's like it's horrible because this crisis isn't just like a downturn like 2008, or you know what I mean? Like this is a pandemic killing people, but in a lot of cases, you know, these types of economic situations are what really let startups rise to the top. And so I think a lot of entrepreneurs that were seeing success in their, you know, esports or different types of industries that are doing well in all of this. So it's hard to be like, oh, yay, we're doing good. But also this is like bad. It's bad for the country. It's bad for the world. But, you know, good for my business.
I think that's important what you just said. It's the pandemic is bad, but success is good, right? Because we want our businesses to thrive. We want our startups to thrive because they can create more jobs. And so for all of the people who have been negatively impacted, whether they became unemployed or laid off or, you know, downsized from their companies, they need opportunities. And I feel like the only way our ecosystem would be resilient and be able to absorb that talent back in is if our startups thrive, which is really interesting. How has, you know, with, I remember when oil went negative, and then now there are these massive layoffs at some of our biggest corporations, you know, here in Houston. How has that impacted you? Like, what have you seen from covering the ecosystem in terms of like a ripple effect?
Yeah, I think that in Houston, you can, as what I think it's really random because it's like so much of the movement behind developing Houston's innovation ecosystem is to diversify away from just being this oil and gas city, but it's so interesting to see how connected they are. And I think, and I think we'll never escape that entirely as a city, or it's going to be years and years and years. But I think what was the biggest moment for all the industries involved is that it was happening at the same time as the pandemic. Like, I think should they have operated separately in different timelines, that it would be a different story. But I think it just added to the shock value, and it added to that like immobility of being like, this has never happened before. And also, we don't know if it's ever going to like, we don't know how to pull it out of where it is now. So I think the biggest problem was that shock value. And I think it'll pan out more, like the greater effect on that. And then just, you know, the observations I've had attending like virtual events that discuss that, the biggest takeaway I heard, and maybe it was selective listening, but was it's time for tech. It's time to invest in tech now. It's time to be a part of the energy transition. It's like, there's no excuses. Like, we all just saw what happened. How are we moving forward? And I think it's kind of a default to say when something is bad, it's like, oh, we're going to invest in technology so it never happens again. And maybe that's just like an easy way to explain away, like to comfort everyone. It's like, no, it won't happen again because we're going to be different. We're finally going to do the technology thing. But I think you actually saw a lot more companies actually doing that versus just saying, we're going to focus on technology and the energy transition. It's like, and here's how, and here's what we've done. So I ultimately, maybe it's just me like kind of finding a positive spin on everything, but ultimately I feel like it progressed energy companies. And I think it also, the pandemic progressed the energy companies to seeing the value in technology and the need to do it now.
Yeah, it's like, as an anecdotal support for that, we are hosting the Climathon again this year. And last year we had 87 participants, but this year, even though it's all virtual, we've had at least from last Friday, I believe, 168 people registered to participate in the Climathon, and it's the world's largest climate action hackathon. So you have people even from Europe and India participating and trying to develop solutions with teams in Houston, which is great. You know, I feel like there's just a lot of talent, and it also kind of goes back to those relationships between Houston and all of these other parts of the world where people might have friends who are working in energy in other parts of the world, or they might have family here and they just want to help solve the problems with the talent that's coming out of Houston, because we just have, I'm sure we have a lot of the best and the brightest, especially when it comes to energy transition, clean tech, renewables, because we've been doing it so long, right? So like on that note, what are you excited about for the future?
I think for sure I'm excited about the energy transition and everyone focusing on climate change. That's an amazing segue, because, you know, at this point, there's not really a lot of people that haven't had some personal experience with a natural disaster that came out of climate change. And so I think we finally are at a point in society where we're like, we've all been, you know, we all saw what happened during Harvey. We all see what's happening with the fires in on the West Coast. So it's like, it's exciting to see the startups emerging to solve these problems, whether pandemic or natural disaster. So it's also exciting to see the growth that's happened in Houston regarding accelerators and startup development organizations. That's something that's always exciting. Like, there was a time, I mean, like 2019, I swear, was like the year of accelerators coming to Houston. I think if you looked at like January 1st compared to December 31st, like it was a world of difference. And I think I even like wrote a story about that, because I was just like, we literally went from TMCX, like full stop, basically. having all of these different accelerators, and they've all like been differently structured, which has been almost a nightmare sometimes, because I'm just like, wait, I have to fully like understand how this like structure works. And I could almost be like a personal concierge for an accelerator concierge. If anyone wants to know what accelerator incubator they should be a part of, I feel like I could almost do that, like hat sort of like Venn diagram almost, because there's so many different ones, and some of them like operate in like a rolling incubator style. Some of them have like a structured 2-time-a-year thing, and they all offer different things. And so that would almost be like a really great project to do that. But then it would be like irrelevant in a month, because we'd have a new one come in. So I think it's cool to see all that momentum happening. It's like, it's almost that like, if you build it, they will come type model. I feel like we've built it all up, and now I just have to see comes in.
Well, are there specific technologies or startups from Houston that you're excited about?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Should I even?
I'm not asking for favorites, just like some examples of ones that you're excited about.
Yeah, I think I think I'm going to pick on Seats because I just talked to them last week and we're working on a story about them. But like that Seats is a technology where you order food to your seat in a stadium. And I think what's really exciting about them is I've used it before. Like a lot of times I write about startups that are developing technology that's going to take a while to get to market. If it's a B2B model, I'm not going to use that. You know what I mean? But it's really cool when I write about a company and then I was at a UH game and I saw, you know, Aaron from Seats and he was like, oh, hey, like he delivered my beer himself. And it's just like to see that actually come to fruition. And obviously it's happening already, but it's like I said, either that B2B setting or it's like not something I'm personally working on. But, and on top of that is, you know, sports are forever changed and we're going to see people interacting with other people in different ways. So this is something that's going to make that environment safer because you're going to have less people out in common areas and people staying, you know, in their seats at the stadium. And I'm a big sports fan. So I'm like, that's really exciting to see. I would love for sports to come back in some capacity safely, of course, but I don't know. That's the only one that comes to mind. I probably kick myself later.
Oh, it's okay. Well, I saw Mark Nathan pop in. And so he reminded me about CPG or consumer packaged goods. And I feel like that's one area that Houston also has a lot of really good success stories in. I don't know if you have any to share, but it seems like Drunk Elephant, you know, being like almost $1 billion company last year, that just seems like an amazing story. And what kind of other businesses are there?
I think what's interesting about CPG in general, because it's like, it does fly under the radar. And I think Mark is doing a lot to change that. And so I'm excited to follow that. But yeah, right now, I feel like the other thing is you have this almost division of like tech companies and startups. And it's like, a lot of people just like put them together. And I think being more cognizant of the difference and not, you know, having them be one and the same and like just being more aware of that is important and something I focus on too. Because like for me, it's like, oh, tech companies. I'm like, well, there are startups that are doing really innovative things that don't necessarily involve sitting in front of a computer or downloading an app. So I think that's something I'm excited to follow for sure.
Yeah, I'm also interested to see, like, in that sense of not having to sit in front of a computer, the like new innovation that's coming out of advanced materials and, you know, the biotech. There's just so much interesting stuff coming out of Houston right now that I can't imagine what it's like to try to cover all of it. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's overwhelming because you have if we're talking about having a innovation map, like more specific focused on something, I think the first thing would be like health and having everything from like biotech and pharmaceuticals to actual digital devices that are emerging out of the Texas Medical Center and innovations. That's overwhelming for sure. And also when you look at like technology within different industries, they have such a slow process of getting, you know, kind of ready. And health tech in general or biotech is very slow and they'll have to, you know, work on research for years before they are able to, you know, raise VC funding. And that's like, whereas like a company that started, that's like an e-commerce website that is only like 8 months old and is already in the Series A round. Like it's worlds of difference. And I have trouble like kind of navigating just like, you know, the difference.
Well, to help you with that, if people want to get in touch with you, whether it's to partner with you or pitch a story or give you the inside scoop on some breaking news, how can they do that?
Definitely email me. It's just natalie@innovationmap.com. So it's pretty easy. And I'm on social media and definitely LinkedIn. So great platform. So usually I prioritize emails. So get in my inbox for sure.
And what kind of information are you looking for?
That's, I think if it's like VC or startup development organization related, like everything, you know, for on an entrepreneurial level, I'm looking for maybe a company that has raised money or has clients, has a MVP or has a website. That's always really helpful. But like I cover kind of the full scope of startups. So whether they are, you know, I would like around launch time thing, at least, I don't know about pre-launch companies, I won't say that, but up to funding rounds. Like that's always news if somebody's closed a round. And I've also have mentioned a few times that I'm a one person team, like in the day to day. So if you even are like, I'm thinking of announcing this next week, but like, do you want to talk about it now? I'm always open to holding on a story under embargo or just like having a non-story type interview or call or something just to like get on the same page.
Lead time. People need to plan and provide you with some lead time.
I hate to turn around a story in like 30 minutes, but I can do it. So, as well, but only, I'd rather have some time to do it.
Well, thank you so much. If there are no other questions in the chat, is there anything, I'll wait, you know, to have, see if any pop up, but is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap up today's AMA?
Yeah, well, I mean, since it is a pregame for this, I will tell you what I'm most excited about, like attending.
Yeah.
So I think Wednesday is my busiest day with what I've registered for. The both sides is super, like I was telling you before, but it's like something I'm personally very interested in with how close, you know, Texas turned blue, talking about, what our like politics as a state, have evolved from and really having both sides of the table represented. I think that's super rare to be able to do. So I'm excited for that. And then the think differently with Potentia, that'll be great. The Houston Originals and then the Ion Startup Demo Day final. That's all on Wednesday. I'm like, gosh, when will I see? And then Thursday, I'm excited about the Redefining Equality event. And Friday's the listies. So yeah. That, I think, amazing to see the winners of that event, of that sort of, I mean, it's not really a competition. It's really just like a chance to shout out to some amazing startups in Houston. So I'm excited. That's my whole agenda. That's my whole calendar.
Yeah. It is a packed week. It is totally a packed week. And I, you know, I love that a lot of it also focuses on inclusion, right? Even though we don't think of, for instance, politics as inclusion, trying to make sure that we're understanding different people's perspectives would help us, I feel like, build a better community or a better ecosystem. I've been on a number of calls where people would talk about how the innovators and entrepreneurs tend to be a little bit more progressive, but a lot of the investors tend to be more conservative. And so bridging these kinds of conversations and making sure that we're not polarizing people within our ecosystem is all really important. And then the neurodiversity one, the think differently, that is also exciting to me too. So I'm glad that you're excited.
Yeah, I didn't mention the Climathon, which will really be exciting because it's the first, it's the second year of doing it. And we've talked about this, how it's, you're kind of opening it up to, you know, not just the people that are going to have the tech expertise to be a part of like designing something and really like just inviting people in to be kind of an idea-a-thon, as you described it, of just talking about it. Like, I think it's interesting how one thing that I've noticed with Innovation Map, I know we're going over a little bit, but how my personal like kind of interests have really evolved from just being exposed to all of all the things that I'm covering. And so I'm kind of like, where does Natalie end and where does Innovation Map begin? I don't know. Sometimes I just like feel like they've intertwined with like what I'm personally interested in now.
Well, it's a labor of love that I think it shows it in the work that you've produced and the stories that you've covered and how you're also helping bring the community together. And then the listies. So that's going to be a lot of fun to celebrate with you.
I'm excited for it all. Thanks for another great year of this. Like, I don't know how you do it. there's a lot that you're doing. And all of the impact stuff, I'm always impressed. And I'm so glad when I mentioned that I wish I was more a part of this year, you said, okay, well, like, we're going to do this conversation. So we really put that around.
I think when women get together, magic always happens. So that's, that's where I stand. Well, thank you, Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. And thank all of you for joining us today for this AMA with Natalie. And we hope to see all of the other events throughout the Houston Innovation Summit Week. We're celebrating Global Entrepreneurship Week. And if you didn't see, we got Houston into the top 5 cities in the entire country for the Global Entrepreneurship Week leaderboard. We made Texas number 1 between Houston and Fort Worth. We beat out every other state in the country. And then Impact Hub Houston is the 3rd ranked partner right now. But if we can throw in a few more events, we can get to number 2 and beat Penn State. Everybody wants to beat Penn State, right? Okay. So anyway, thank you all so much. And thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Grace.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Subscribe so you never miss an episode and follow along on innovationmap.com for all things Houston innovation. We'll be right back.